Can you start, members? Can you welcome the department? Kiki! Let us welcome the department. I'm sure we all have the agenda in front of us. Quite a short one. We are having a briefing from the department. Thereafter, we will consider the adoption of the minutes. Is the department ready? Are we ready? You are ready.
We are ready.
Okay. We are welcoming you, department, once more to the portfolio committee. And we are looking forward to your presentation as well. You may begin.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Firstly, I wish to thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you as a portfolio committee our strategy, plan of action. I hope also we can also use the opportunity to also report to the portfolio committee both the progress and challenges that we have faced in developing the mechanisms and systems to support the implementation of the strategic plan of action that we are presenting today. The evolution, Madam Chairperson, of the Ministry and this strategic plan has been guided by the relevant resolution of the ANC Puluwane Conference and the mandate as subsequently outlined by the President of the Republic in the State of the Nation Address for this year. In addition to this mandate, our consultation with stakeholders in the three sectors, that is women, children, and persons with disabilities, has indicated varying expectations with regard to the work of the Ministry. These expectations have also influenced our strategic direction and areas of focus for the Department. Also, Honorable Chair, the expectations range from small organizations who require resources to create developmental opportunities for women to individual persons with disabilities who cannot find employment despite them having some work qualifications. They include the need for protection of various rights of children, violated in many ways in our society. To respond to one such violation, as an example, we are holding an Indaba on March 22nd to coincide with the Human Rights Month, to discuss the appropriate responses to the killing of children and women and destruction.
Members, do you have a copy of what the minister has written? I can read it in your face if you don't have it. Well, I'm not
in the minister, which document are you reading for? No, it's just my opening. So, to respond to one such violation, as Chairperson has indicated, we will be holding a national Indaba on March 22nd. To discuss the country's appropriate responses to the killing of children and women and the extraction of their body parts which are used for INID. The Ministry and Department for Women, Children and Persons with Disability have a broader mandate to facilitate compliance and exercise oversight on South Africa's delivery against the requirements of the Constitution, electoral mandates, and various international treaties that we are party to. Facilitating compliance, including mainstreaming of gender equality, children's rights, and disability equalization considerations into key governance processes. It requires leadership in integrating action to accelerate and advance the rights of the three focus groups and unblocking the barriers limiting delivery on their rights. We have to exercise ongoing oversight, scrutinizing all processes and programs to measure progress towards the realization of the desired political, economic, and social goals. This entails monitoring and evaluation based on aligned understanding on critical implementation norms and standards and incremental targets. The National Gender Machinery, the Children's Rights Advisory Council, and National Disability Forum became the primary platforms for building national consensus on these norms and standards as well as the country's targets. It is important to mention that we still have what was called the OSU, the Office of the Rights of the Children, and also the OSDP, focal points in departments, provinces, and municipalities in some instances. These focal points are important to the work of our department and the three spheres of government. It is therefore necessary to align their mandates and strategic trust with that of the Department for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. In this presentation, Chairperson, we will give details of the strategic objectives and performance targets of each of the three branches focusing on women, children and persons with disabilities. It is important to mention that while the branches carry similar core functions in respect of their sectors, they each must apply specialized technical capabilities appropriate to their sectors. This includes competencies to address sector-specific dynamics and peculiarities that have the potential to hamper delivery on the rights of vulnerable persons in the three sectors. Based on the need, Chairperson, to execute the mandate and respond to the high expectations of our sectors, our department developed a comprehensive budget proposal motivating for allocation to cover physical and financial acquisition, implementation of our three-year plan, and personnel compensation based on the organizational structure approved by the GPSA. In October 2009, we submitted a budget proposal of 1 billion over 3 years. The following month, Treasury indicated an allocation of approximately 150 million. Over December and January 2010, we engaged on a rigorous negotiation process by officials of the two departments on the matter, reaching a compromise of 461 million for the department only. I must add that our position, as we submitted this proposal in the process of negotiation, was at the range of around 520 million, and which then was compromised to 461. However, Chairperson, in February, we received an indication that the allocated amount was reduced to 321 million. In addition, a significant portion of this allocation is a transfer to the Commission for Gender Equality, whose functions have been moved to our department budget, following as provided for in the macro organizational framework. In essence, the department was allocated 156 million over the MTEF period, while the Commission for Gender Equality gets 165 million. In the meantime, Chairperson and honorable members, we are continuing to do our work and have participated successfully at the 54th session of the Commission on the Status of Women in the first half of this month. And I am very grateful and glad that the Portfolio Committee was part of this important process. We are finalizing the report on this session, as well as the report of the Conference of Parties on the Convention on the Rights of the Persons with Disabilities. There is an intention, Honorable Chair and members, that later this year, July to be specific, we would like to convene a national conference that will include all the stakeholders for women in the country so that we can table the report and also develop a national plan of action for South Africa, moving towards Beijing Plus 20. We have also been requested as a country to lead the discussion on macroeconomic framework at the 9th meeting of Commonwealth Women's Affairs Ministers taking place in Barbados in June this year. In line with the decision of African heads of state, we will be playing our role to ensure the success of the decades for the African woman starting this year. We will also be submitting the relevant United Nations reports with regard to children and persons with disabilities. There are various other activities that I would have loved to have reported to the committee on, but due to time limitations today, I would like to allow for the presentation and discussion on the strategic plan, which is our main agenda item today. But I want to thank you, Chairperson, for allowing me to make this statement, introductory statement, in terms of our strategic framework. Accompanying me is the team from the department, which I'd like just to briefly introduce to the Portfolio Committee. Next to me is Sandy Mbacha, who is the special advisor to the minister. And next to him is Advocate Unathi Bongo, who was seconded as part of a team seconded from the DPSA to assist us in the process of establishing the department. And next to him is Ms. Tonisile Delwa, who is also part of that said team. And next to Tonisile is Ms. Mabel Ranta and Advocate Nomazosho Memani Bolani, Mr. Simpiwe Mabasa, who is the Chief of Staff in the Minister's Office, as well as Sibani Mgadi, the Communications Officer in the Department. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Members.
Perhaps before you start, Mabel, can we say thank you very much to the department and to you, Minister. Thank you very much for coming. To us, it actually gives us hope when we see you around, you know, within us. And I know it doesn't usually happen because of other commitments, but we feel good that we are here. And I'm sure I share the sentiments of other members as well. And I see you have brought your senior leadership with you, And I think we are also grateful for that. When, I mean, it means something to us if you send your senior leadership to this type of a meeting. I think we are grateful for that. Thank you very much. Mabel, can you then proceed? I don't know whether you feel we should introduce members of the committee or you are now familiar. Let us do it. Okay. Can we start from your side, Robinson?
Gillian Portman, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much. You would notice, ministers, that these members only introduce themselves. They purposely, they don't say from which party they are coming from. I think that is the type of spirit we have in the committee. To us, that does not matter much which political party we belong to. We feel we are of common understanding when it comes to women issues. And also, that also helps us in our functioning. You know, instead of scratching around with ourselves, we just focus, try to focus on what we are about. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. The content of our presentation will briefly look at the legislative framework within which the department operates. We'll look at the mandate, vision, mission, values, strategic objectives, and core functions of the department. We will look at broad five-year priorities of our department. We want to look at the departmental improvement plan that we have mapped out for ourselves. We will look at the branch implementation plans. Minister referred to three branches. We will look at implementation plans for those branches. And then look at human resources, physical and financial acquisition plan of the department. We look at the Chapter 9 institution that is part of our operating framework. We will look at the MTEF and accountability framework of the department and end up looking at performance indicators and outcomes as anticipated by the department in 2014, finally. Now, Chairperson, in terms of Minister's statement, I think it is important to just reflect a bit and indicate that in her statement, Minister looked at the rationale for establishing, locating the OSW and ORC and OSDP in the presidency when this was done and why this approach did not yield that result. We will look into that, I think, a little later on. We also looked at, the Minister also looked at establishment of the department in May 2010 and strategies to effect the mandate implementation efficiencies and program impacts within the department. She touched on the establishment of the department and other new departments and all that as being a critical part of government's goal to align the electoral mandate, governance structures, and development challenges that need to receive immediate and urgent attention from government. And finally, I think she also highlighted the purpose of the five-year departmental strategy and in that context enabled us to anticipate similarly what comes out of the strategy. The legislative framework of the department, Chairperson, honorable members, is composed of national, continental, and international frameworks. And on page 6 of the narrative document, we list actually all the national instruments. I think members have the copy of the narrative, the detailed narrative report. It lists on page 6, as I say, the national instruments that enable us to operate within this context. It also lists the continental framework, legislative framework, and also finally the international framework that enables the department to work within the three sectors of women, children, and persons with disabilities. I think honorable members must have looked at the detail in terms of the legislative framework. Around mandate, vision, and mission of our department chairperson, the mandate of our department is to facilitate compliance and exercise oversight on South Africa's delivery against the constitutional, electoral, continental, international, development and transformation mandates of the socioeconomic development and cultural rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. This mandate for us is very critical, Chairperson, because we have observed and experienced that there is differential understanding in the framework within which we operate at this point in time in terms of the mandate of the department. We have been established as a department that is an oversight structure in opposition to a service delivery structure. And one of our priorities in this current coming year, beginning April, is to facilitate alignment in the sector, alignment across government in terms of understanding of the mandate of our department. The vision of our department is a non-sexist. We hope at some point later on we will have a non-sexist, discrimination-free, equity and gender equality-oriented and inclusive society that cares for, protects, and develops the human potential of its women, children, and persons with disabilities. You know, Chairperson, they say visions are something that you will forever aspire to achieve, and we know that it is going to take South Africa a very long time to arrive at this if we indeed ultimately achieve this. But that's what visions are there to do, to keep us focused and aiming to achieve a specific goal. Our mission in the department is to create an enabling environment to facilitate the translation of constitutional, continental, and international obligations into programs that will advance the rights and socioeconomic and cultural rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. The core functions of the Department for Women, Children, and Persons with Disabilities are as follows. One, promotion and protection of the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities, including acceleration of implementation on constitutional and international obligations on the rights of persons in these vulnerable groups, as well as facilitate catalytic projects in the three sectors. Catalytic projects would be those projects that the department initiates to accelerate and advance delivery on the rights of persons in the three sectors. Our second core function is to coordinate and facilitate collaboration in the three sectors to ensure mainstreaming of gender, disability, and children's rights considerations in key governance and program frameworks, including strengthening of public-private partnerships. Our third core function is to set norms and standards for political and socioeconomic transformation necessary to achieve incremental women empowerment, gender equality, children's rights, and equalization of development opportunities for persons with disabilities. The issue around norms and standards in relation to political norms and standards in relation to the sectors, obviously that particular area would be led by a minister. Officials and technical support would focus on socioeconomic transformation issues in terms of advancing delivery on the rights of persons in the three vulnerable groups. Our fourth, very important, as is the case with all the other functions, is monitoring and evaluation of delivery on agreed targets in the three sectors. This will culminate in disaggregated rights delivery databases, issues, specific research findings, and national efficiencies for comprehensive reporting at country and international level. Lastly, our core function is to advance international cooperation and partnerships to promote and protect socio-economic and cultural rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. One of South Africa's objectives is to work for a better Africa and a better world, and it's within that context that we will be working as a department, leading in terms of national processes, also at international level around the women, children, and disability sector. The strategic objectives is deriving from the core functions of the department in the next current five years is to facilitate compliance with national, regional, continental, and international instruments for the advancement of equity and access to development opportunities by women, children, and persons with disabilities. Two, to mainstream women, children, and disabilities considerations in key governance processes and initiatives at national and international. South Africa's initiatives obviously at national, but mostly at international level. We also have as an objective to exercise oversight on the national women, children, and disabilities sector and to report comprehensively at national, continental, and international levels. For some reason, Chairperson, as a country, we tend to be very vigilant in reporting at international, even continental levels, but we don't normally adopt the same vigilance when it comes to reporting to our society out there. So the department acknowledges that we need to strengthen our capability as a department to be able to do that. We also would be facilitating planning, implementation, progress tracking, and agreement on strategies for continuous improvement in the three sectors, meaning that the children, disabilities, and women sectors individually and at some point collectively would get together to then collectively agree on targets for the sectors, agree on improvement strategies in terms of delivery on the rights of persons in those different sectors, and also on improvement opportunities as we move on, or continuous improvement strategies as we move on. Our last strategic objective is to lead on behalf of the government of South Africa in women, children's rights and disabilities initiatives in the country, obviously, and at continental and international level. Now, the department's broad 5-year priorities are composed of two elements. The one element is that South Africa government has national priorities, government has committed itself to deliver on. And these national priorities, as we all know, are economic growth and sustainable livelihoods, education, health, rural development, and the fight against crime. Now, in line with those national or government priorities, the Department for Women, Children, and Persons with Disabilities have a responsibility to look at what we are saying as a country we are going to do in terms of growing the economy and education, sustainable livelihoods, rural development, health, and fight against crime, to look at all that and look at what the lead departments in terms of delivery or realization of our goals in terms of national priorities, look at that as a department and see where the gaps are in terms of women, children, and persons with disability considerations within key activities of lead departments responsible for delivery on national priorities. Once the gaps have been identified, it is our responsibility as a department to then engage the different departments and work with them to mainstream considerations of children's rights, women, gender equality and women empowerment, along with empowerment of persons with disabilities within the activities of lead departments. Once we achieve that, Chairperson, honorable members, that sets the stage for us to then be able to say in terms of oversight and monitoring and evaluation around national priorities, this is exactly what we would be focusing on as a department. It would be targets that have been agreed with lead departments, and in that way it should be possible for us to work very closely with lead departments to achieve what we believe needs to be achieved by South Africa in relation to the three sectors. We also believe that in terms of the other aspects of national priorities that the department has to work with is the fact that being lead department in the areas of women, children and persons with disabilities, the department must also lead in terms of facilitating sectoral or national agreement around sectoral priorities throughout the current 5 years, and agree also on incremental achievements on a year-to-year basis up until we reach 2014. So, Chairperson, Honourable Members, it becomes very clear therefore that while the department has a responsibility to work in line with national priorities, the department also has a responsibility to facilitate that South Africa has targets that it is aspiring to achieve in this current 5 years in the different sectors. We have been operating for a while now as a new department, and drawing from our experience, along with experience from what used to be the OSW, ORC, and OSDP, we have been able to identify areas that we need to strengthen as a department to enable ourselves to then deliver efficiently in terms of the mandate of the department, which is primarily promotion and protection of the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. And within that context, in terms of improving or strengthening the infrastructure for us to be able to do work efficiently around rights of these vulnerable groups, we have identified that it is important for the department to facilitate strengthening of family life in our country. It is also important to align understanding in government on the mandate of the Department for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. It is important to maximize invaluable experience of the presidency through ORC, OSDP and OSW over the years on gender equality, children's rights and empowerment of persons with disabilities. That experience, as indicated, is invaluable and we need to build on it. It is also important we determined to strengthen strategic public-private partnerships to advance the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. And lastly, it is important to because as we speak, Chairperson, Honourable Members, we still have OSWs, ORCs, and OSDPs in departments, provinces, and in some instances in municipalities. It is important this year also in terms of improving the infrastructure within which we operate to also ensure that we facilitate alignment of work within those focal children's rights, women empowerment, and also disabilities programs. Okay. Chairperson, I was saying at this point in time, we still have in the provinces OSWs, ORCs, and OSDPs. Not only in the provinces, in departments, we all still have focal points also for those structures, and in some instances, in municipalities. And because the department has been established and it is, in terms of the strategy, has mapped out a strategy and its strategic thrust in the current 5 years, it is therefore important for the department to engage with the provinces, the departments, and municipalities to ensure that what the currently known as OSW structures at the three spheres of government align their strategic thrust with that of the department, because in that way we will then strengthen possibility for impact within the country in the work that we do in the three sectors. We also thought, Chairperson, honourable members, that it is important to acknowledge that the department comes into being in a context that already has achieved quite significantly in terms of the women, children, and persons with disabilities sector. For instance, the following are some of the key national achievements in relation to the three sectors in our country. We have a human rights-based national constitution, which is acclaimed worldwide as being committed to human rights. We have a parliament portfolio committee on women, children, persons with disabilities. That's a very important achievement for us as a country. South Africa has ratified key gender equality, children's rights, and disabilities continental and international instruments, and in that context we've also been able to domesticate through our national legislation those instruments. We already have established public-private partnerships working in the three sectors, and we think that's an important achievement. We have, as a country, submitted AU and UN reports in relation to the three sectors, even though we observe that we need to strengthen our capabilities for efficient reporting moving forward. We also, as a country, observe on an annual basis key sector-specific days in relation to women, children, and persons with disabilities. And lastly, South Africa has visibility at the international and continental level in the sectors of women, children, and persons with disabilities. So the new department comes in and finds solid ground that we need to use to anchor the department, but also to use to further strengthen acceleration of delivery on the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. Now, in relation, based on what we already have as a country in terms of key achievements and the infrastructure for work in the areas of women, children, and persons with disabilities, Chairperson, I'd like to please request honourable members to go to the narrative and look at the, so we can all look at the operational plans of branches. We are looking at from page 11 in the document, in the details document. Yeah. What is on page 11 has already been covered, because that has to do with the improvement strategies that we would like to put in place. And in terms of branch implementation plans on page 12, Minister alluded to the fact that whilst the three branches have exactly the same core functions, it is necessary for South Africa to deliver in terms of the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities respectively. It is necessary for the different sectors to be driven by specialist competencies, specialist skills, and specialist capabilities. That would also take into consideration the dynamics, the sectoral dynamics, peculiarities of the sectors, and in that way be able to come out with development initiatives that are appropriate for the individual sector. Page 12 is about all that. On page 14, honourable member, we start with the branch implementation plan. Now, in terms of, because the branches have the same core functions and same strategic objectives, except the differences in implementation, sorry, page 14. It's that table, this table. No, thank you. May I just drink water for a minute? Thank you, Chairperson. We will notice in terms of the implementation plan that the branches, which is the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality branch, which we refer to easily as WIGI, seeks to provide leadership in government with regard to mainstreaming of WIGI considerations in key governance processes at national and international level. The target, I think, is what is important in terms of that particular strategic objective of the branch. And those, the targets are WIGI considerations, identification of opportunities to mainstream critical WIGI considerations across government, because there will be different opportunities at local government level, at provincial and within departments, and also broadly at a national level. WIGI will also be looking at mainstreaming of capacity development across government. We talk a lot about mainstreaming of rights of women, and often omit to remember that we need to capacitate our structures at especially at municipality, provincial and departmental level to do this work that is so important that we refer to as mainstreaming. So WIGI is saying it's going to do that. The key activities, I think, are self-explanatory. Then, Chairperson, based on the strategic objectives, the targets, and key activities to achieve the targets, we will have, on a year-to-year basis, targets to achieve into 2014, hoping that in 2014 we will, because we have been achieving incrementally in 2014, we then will finally have achieved as a department what we set out to achieve in the first place. I think under WIGI it is important to look at, sorry, Chairperson, to look on page 16, on page 16, the issue of catalytic projects that I referred to earlier on page 16 under 4, under strategic 4, WIGI says we are going to design, facilitate integrated action and coordination of strategic catalytic projects to accelerate delivery on the rights of women. In that context, our target as a department is to establish a national fund to augment government allocation for the advancement of women empowerment and gender equality in South Africa. And our key activity is that establishment of that particular fund. And we are saying in terms of achieving this fund, we will on an annual basis do several things. In year one, we will consolidate our concept paper. We will consult on the concept paper. We will make certain that we are all agreed in terms of systems of how to use the Women's Empowerment Fund to empower women. And in that context, we then would see ourselves with a framework that is ready to enable us by the end of the year to actually empower women drawing from the fund itself. And in year two, we would begin to see women that actually have been empowered through the Women's Empowerment Fund. And that grows on and from year, improves on a yearly basis, until when in 2014 we would have achieved a sustainable women empowerment fund, and we would have evidence-based acceleration of economic empowerment of women through the fund. So that's what we will do in terms of catalytic projects. Under indicators 2010 and 11, bullet point 2 talks about two additional emerging catalytic projects. We believe, Chairperson, that as we work, there will be opportunities from which will emerge several opportunities for critical and strategic catalytic projects. But because of the reality of work that has to be done that goes into those kinds of programs, we are saying as a department we can only take two additional, over and above the Women Empowerment Program, two additional catalytic projects, because that is what we can handle and do well within a certain space of time. So the rest of the document, document under which the Chairperson does exactly that in terms of strategic objectives, the target related to strategic objectives, key activities and indicators on a year-to-year basis until we achieve what we ultimately set out to achieve. I will then, Chairperson, move to the children's branch, on page 70. It adopts the same approach. We also look at the same strategic objectives, but we do different things because in the children's rights area, priorities are different in terms of what needs to be done. In terms of mainstreaming, I think we are all aligned in terms of mainstreaming children's rights considerations in key governance processes. I think the other key difference that will emerge from the children's sector is also the catalytic project. So I think it comes out as a peculiarity thing for the children's rights sector. On page 19, Chairperson, under 9, strategic objective design facilitation of integrated action and coordination of strategic catalytic projects. While the women's empowerment, we will focus on the women's empowerment fund as a starter, the children's rights sector would focus on the street children and two projects, the street children and each one raise one child programs. Those are two projects. The intention here is to reclaim South Africa's children living in the streets, reclaim them from the street, rehabilitate them and reintegrate them within their families. The Each One Raise One Child program here is a project that looks at mobilizing those of us who are more fortunate than others in our country to say, because we have been this fortunate, can we consider to sponsor a child and in that sense assist government and the nation with regard to poverty alleviation and also with regard to enabling children to access their education. So other than that, Chairperson, I think to a very large extent the work that has to be done within the sector is the same as what has to be done within the women's sector with children's rights peculiarities. The department, the branch on rights on page 20, on rights of persons with disabilities, has exactly the same responsibilities, and I will also look at the catalytic project to indicate peculiarities of this particular branch. On page 22, strategic objective 14, which is also about catalytic projects, the disability sector or branch is also looking to establish a vibrant empowerment fund for persons with disabilities. The concept is the same, to ensure that the fund has been established to enable individual persons or organizations within this particular sector to to be supported through the fund for them to advance and accelerate delivery on the rights of persons with disabilities. And a whole lot of peculiarities that go with that sector are also picked up in this particular area. We also, in terms of, as a department, in terms of our organizational structure, chairperson, have a chief director, intend to have a chief directorate that will focus on intersectoral coordination. This particular chief directorate also has very specific targets, key results, areas and activities, indicators on a year-to-year basis to achieve ultimately departmental intersectoral efficiencies. Because the work that we do in the three sectors has a lot to do with intersectoral collaboration, intersectoral integrated action, and in that way we need to develop our competencies and be able to be very efficient as a department in working with different parties around one strategic initiative. In short, chairperson, in terms of the individual branch and chief directorate in this context, action plans, that is what we would be doing as a department in the different areas of our responsibility. I'd like to go back to the slides, if it's okay, chairperson, with you. Based on the individual branch implementation plans, the way forward that we will be following ourselves as a department is to integrate gender equality, children's rights and disabilities considerations in key activities of government priorities lead departments, to facilitate sectoral agreement on 3 years and incremental annual target for 3 years and incremental annual target indicators, planning, implementation, performance tracking, as well as reporting mechanisms. So we need to consolidate and strengthen our mechanisms for us as a department to be able to work in those different areas. And that, for us, chairperson number two, as it has been mapped out, actually illustrates the oversight, the nature of the oversight responsibility this department has been mandated to do. And also sector-specific knowledge. We generate a lot of knowledge as a country at the different levels of government, and it is important that as a department within the sectors of women, children and persons with disabilities to consolidate that knowledge and manage it in such a way that it ensures continuous improvement in delivery on the rights of persons in the three sectors. Now, we believe that we should work and work hard and with all the support that we need to be able to achieve what we need to achieve as a department, chairperson, we anticipate the following key outcomes by 2040. We anticipate that we will have a department with effective leadership in South Africa, South Africa's compliance with relevant constitutional mandates and international instruments. We will have alignment in government, throughout government, on the understanding, interpretation, and application of the national agenda on gender equality, children's rights and responsibilities, and rights of persons with disabilities. We will have incremental access to human rights and development opportunities by women, children, and persons with disabilities. We hope by 2014 to have established functional strategic catalytic projects in the three sectors that indeed strengthen delivery on the rights of persons in those sectors. And ultimately, departmental mainstreaming, coordination, oversight, and comprehensive reporting efficiencies. So by 2014, chairperson, it is our intention to have a fully functional department. Now, with regard to human resources that we need to be able to achieve in line with our plan, we have an organizational structure that DPSA has already concurred with, and I'm sure honorable members have copies of the structure. Just briefly, the structure consists of obviously the political head, minister, and her support staff in the ministry. We have a director general who will be supported by his or her staff. We have the three main branches, including the corporate management branch and the chief directorate for intersectoral coordination. We further have, we have each of the three branches led by a DDG who will work in very closely with three chief directorates chief directorates and directorates. In that sense, therefore, Chairperson, honorable members, in our structure that we have shared with you, the job descriptions of every individual person mapped in the organizational structure have been included so as to give us all a good sense of what individual people will be doing within this particular structure. This structure comprises of 195 people. The initial structure which we started out with was around 400. And through negotiations with DPSA amongst ourselves, we finally concluded and agreed at a structure that is composed of 195 people. DPSA concurred with the structure, and obviously activation of the structure will begin with the employment of the Director General, and the ball will keep rolling until we get it right finally. It is also important, Chairperson, we thought that the honourable members be familiarised with the fact that even as we have not yet employed in terms of the department's organisational structure, the department does have a team of approximately 36 officials, and that team is composed of officials that were inherited from the ORC, OSW, and OSDP in the presidency, officials that minister appointed when minister was appointed minister for her to kickstart her work in the department. And also, as Minister indicated, DPSA also seconded a team of four officials. So that's all who is working in the department at this point in time. We also, as a department, have a physical and financial acquisition plan. Physical and financial acquisition plan speaks to the fact that as a department, we need to have operating premises and related electronic systems and material and office, everything that goes with implementation and a functional department. Like all other departments, we need to establish that for ourselves, and work is in progress to that end. And as a department, we do not have a statutory body working or reporting to us, but we do have a Chapter 9 institution, Commission for Gender Equality, within our operating framework. CGE used to be within the operating framework for justice. It has since been moved to our, transferred to our side. Thank you. Minister referred in her opening remarks to the process, the vigorous process we went through as a department to secure a budget allocation for the department, and I will not go through that again. Just suffice it to say, the department, when we developed the initial budget of the department, we adopted a zero-based budgeting approach, and looked at the strategy that we had, looked at the work that had to be done, looked at our operational plans, and based on that, we then were able to develop a budget for ourselves as a department. And that budget, the key elements of that budget was physical establishment of the department, as I indicated, setting up premises and all the electronic things that go with making the makings of a functional department. It also, the budget looked at the mandate implementation plan for the coming 3 years. It looked at the need for critical capability in the department to deliver on the mandate. Whereas at first we looked at the implementation, that is program implementation, we also looked at the skills that needed to be acquired for us to be able to deliver efficiently in terms of our mandate. Obviously that goes with compensation of employees. And also we looked at the work that South Africa has to do in the three sectors at international level. And based on that, we then were able initially to submit to, as Minister indicated earlier on, to Treasury, a budget of 1 billion. It came back to us. We had to review, refine. Treasury was coming up with reasons that were good for us to review the budget. We looked at that and we scaled down as best we could, and that process kept going to and fro between Treasury and ourselves, as Minister indicated. Ultimately, we have a budget. The last figure that we agreed on with Treasury in brackets was around 461 million, because we had really scaled down from 1 billion. That for us was a good budget to enable us to kickstart the process. I mean, the budget, the department, continue with implementation and be able to do the work that we must do in relation to service to our nation. But finally, the allocation came out as 145, as Minister said. The department is still working on processes to encourage review of that budget for the department. Now, we looked at the 145 million. He wants to see this one. Sorry. 145 is not the right figure. 156 million. We looked at the 156 million and looked at, in terms of, I'm going to go back, how we would need to use that money to establish physically the department, to implement the programs in the three areas, to recruit personnel and also compensate personnel, and also to do our work at international level. But the 156 that then came as the final allocation also included for us, which was a new element, the fact that CGE had to get an allocation. The allocation had already been taken out of CGE. That's why we landed with 156. So we looked at all that, Chairperson, honorable members, and we observed that the budget allocation in the E&E is currently our reality as a department. However, this allocation we observe will make it very difficult for the department to achieve critical capabilities to deliver on our mandate. Secondly, we observe that this was ironical in that South Africa's gender program and its resources allocation system is perceived as a model globally, whereas it is the allocation of resources actually that, amongst other reasons, led to the strengthening of the National Women's Empowerment Program through the establishment of the Department for Women, Children, and Persons with Disabilities. And finally, we also looked at the fact that South Africa has been invited, had got a special invitation, as Minister said, to lead in a sense at the Commonwealth Gender Responsive Budgeting meeting coming up. And in that context, we feel it will be necessary as the department not to go by ourselves to talk about the gender responsive budget. Necessarily, we would have to go with our Department of Finance. We would have to go with relevant other structures in that context so that we speak from all the key... Sorry, Chairperson? Okay. So, Chairperson, we thought it was important to do, but with the current state of affairs, we find that will also be a challenge. How do we take finance and everybody that we need to take as a department to illustrate how other countries could learn from South Africa to do right by allocating meaningfully for women's departments, children's departments, and if we have this kind of situation in the country to deal with, but I guess it's all part of development processes, we have to deal with them. In terms of our accountability as a department, Chairperson, honorable members, our department must account, like all other departments, to President and Cabinet, to Parliament, as we do today, to the Portfolio Committee, to the three sectors in the country, women, children, and persons with disabilities. To the South African nation, we need, we know that and we acknowledge that on an annual basis, we need to tell the nation what we have observed, how we have performed in the year. We also, as a department, have the responsibility to report on behalf of South Africa to relevant AU structures and to relevant UN structures. In conclusion, Chairperson, I'd like to borrow from Minister Mayende's statement and indicate that the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities looks forward to Parliament's support in its task to accelerate and advance quality life for persons in the three vulnerable groups. In South Africa, oversight by Parliament is another critical continuous improvement strategy. And the Department for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities embrace this support, this approach, because we know that we need to put a whole lot of checks and balances in the country to make certain that we do right by the electoral mandate, by the people we have been put in these positions to serve. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Members, I hope you've been following. I want to give the opportunity to members, but before I do that, can I ask just one question? When you gave us this presentation, you have a number of programs, but my worry is these programs should be linked to a budget. And I don't see, you know, the financial part of the presentation. Mm-hmm. Can I just understand as to, you know, usually when presentations are made, they would give us a plan, like the one you have done, and then at the back of the plan, there would be the financial part. You know, that would tell us so much would go for salaries, so much would go for rent, so much would go for telephone, so much would go for, you know, for this and this and this. So I don't know, I'm just a bit, unless you tell us how you're going to do it. Sir. Perhaps before we move on, because I think that is the backbone of all this, because this will never be done without, you know, what I'm saying. So before we proceed with questions, let us just get clarity on that one first, and then after we'll move on. I'm trying to scratch around there. I've been fiddling to see, but I don't know whether it is appearing. I don't see.
The clarity that I seek Of course, my clarity was, I thought, the same as yours. But looking at page 8, where they speak about the final allocation of $156 million over the 10 years. Did I got you? It's the ENE framework, department, the ENE framework, report 25, 26. Now I want to know where you get that. Because when I looked at this that we received, it is more stuff. Is this here the red book from Century? The red book. I don't know whether it's a white book or a red book. But I'll say a red book. Over the 4 years, over the 3 years, where's the amount that I've seen? It comes out to $421 million. If you take the, 2010 to 2011, 2012, 2012, 2013. So I'd like to know where did this come from. Thank you.
I just wanted to know about the two funds that are being created or that will be created.
Before we even come to all those questions, let us get clarity, on the financial part of the plan.
Where is that money coming from? Where is that money
coming from? Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson is right. We have a budget based on the program as we have, based on the implementation plan as we have mapped it out. That budget is what amounted to $461 million, and that we have. What has since come through in terms of allocation from for the department is 156. We, as a department, we had a choice of either further scaling down to fit in with the 156 over 3 years, and within that context, use that resource to establish the department, to recruit a key competencies, to implement the programs over three individual programs over 3 years, and to do all the work that has to be done in terms of that. Or we could revisit the process to persuade for review of the budget for the department, the 156 for the department, to make it possible for the department to do what it must do in terms of establishing itself, recruiting competencies, delivering on the mandate, and so on. I think Minister will respond on this, but I think we ultimately agreed with Minister that perhaps we should proceed with revisiting the process to persuade and encourage a review of the department, a review of the budget department's budget allocation. And that is the reason, Chairperson, we did not attach the budget as in $461 million, because in terms of the actual allocation, which is 156, we would need to really scale down and revisit the thing. I don't know, Minister, whether you would add to that, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to thank you for the question, and rightly so. We will make available the details of the budget, proposed budget that we worked on, which then came to the amount of 461. That information is linked to in detail to all the programs of all the branches and everything else that you will be doing throughout the 3 years. So what I have asked that we do now is to make available that detail to the portfolio committee, and I think we will do that now so that there is a picture with respect to what we are proposing, which has been scaled down from 1 billion, as indicated earlier, to 520-something million, but then through the negotiating process went down to 461, as agreed through the processes of negotiation. So we are going to make that information available. And our apologies for not bringing this, because we didn't really think we would need that information. Since it is required, we are going to be giving out. And I believe, as we speak, it is being copied so that it's available to the portfolio committee. Yes.
You know, members, I'm not a finance person at all. But what I'm trying to say here is that here I have my salary at the end of the month. And then I write I'm going to pay my bond, my car, my groceries, my telephone, what, and this is what is left. This plan must go with that. There's no other way. It must go. As a committee, I don't think we can compromise. Because if we don't do that, you're going to come to a stage where you're going to be stuck with just paying salaries and your programs won't function. So that plan needs to be in place so that we can see from the word go whether this budget that has been allocated is working or not. This is treasury, this is what we have done. This thing is not working out. We cannot even pay for rent. We cannot even pay for telephone. So that must be, you know, on paper. Because if we had that, we would be even questioning you. Department, why are you paying so much rent for your premises? You understand? What's happening? Then you explain, no, we couldn't find cheaper offices, what. But if you don't have it on paper, we are tied, we can't. So even the program that you have presented can't go forward. But can I open it for members? I have to say it better than myself.
Honorable member, Honorable Kiki, Honorable Dorothy, Honorable Mohasi, Honorable Carl Robinson, Honorable Ahmed. I didn't welcome you, I didn't see you until I missed you. Welcome to the
Thank you, Honorable Chair. No, I just want to come in on this very same point before maybe one asks other questions. That one was wondering if maybe you don't have that information in the laptop right now, because we could request the staff to assist in printing it so that we have it today rather than waiting for another day. Because my concern, Chairperson, is that if that information is provided after we finish this meeting, then we might have questions that we would have loved to ask the minister or the department itself and won't be able to get those answers. I just wanted to check if it is not available in the laptop. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I must first, Chair, thank the committee for the good work they did. The department. But Chair, the department will have to bear with us because we are representing women of this country and the fingers are going to be pointed at us at the end of the day. Because point number one, the problem that I have is the mandate of the committee. The mandate of the committee, it seems to me as if it's the same mandate that the OSW had. That's why you are getting this kind of budget that you are getting, because the mandate is monitoring, and the catalyst project are secondary. Therefore, the budget is for the primary, I think, which is monitoring. Which, as this committee, I don't think we are still doing monitoring as a priority, but I think we need fund for women and other projects. I think that's why we are having this little budget. So, therefore, if the budget proposal that went to Treasury is like this, this is what we're supposed to get. Because, the catalyst projects are the secondary. Therefore, the budget is for what we prioritize, which is monitoring, which is the same that the OSW did. So I would like to know the proposed project for women and for the children and disabled. But where are we going to get that funding? When and where? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and let me also thank the Minister and also the team for the presentation on this budget allocation. I think my first question has been covered, because I was just going to find out as to having budgeted for so much and now having been compelled to scale down to this, how then are we really going to justify, you know, to cover the programs? And also on the question of priorities, how do you prioritize? You know, if you've got 20 million and all of a sudden you're giving 10 rand, then how do you really prioritize to can be able to achieve what you intended, you know, to achieve? And then the second one is about also the CGE. The CGE, pardon? Are we still dealing with the
finances? Can I just put you on track?
Mm. Let us discuss the finances.
Don't get into the details. Let us first discuss the financial part. Let us understand it. Let the department understand what we are trying to say. Thereafter, we'll move on.
Okay. My answer can
someone from you have put it better than I have done.
I'm going to ask one. Chairperson, what we received was it's a strategic plan, and it's over the 5 years till 2014. And what we expected the department to bring with us is the annual performance plan, where you say, you know, these are the things you're going to do, and this is the amount. But what we don't expect them to bring, but sometimes you ask for it, you get an operational plan out of that annual. And what was expected was, if you look at both 7, you have here the budgetary summary, administration. Then they should say, you know, what was used for administration, the amount and the breakdown. Then women's empowerment, gender equality, children's rights and responsibilities, the rights of people and disabilities. I think our researchers taught us well, because we got something, you know, on the different programs. And then also what will be important is what our work said, that to break down that amount that goes to the gender, well, the Commission on Gender Equality, because we must know exactly what is going to happen to the money. Yeah, I will just try and help you. I won't ask other questions.
Thanks, Chair. I will not take much of your time except to say.
I'm sorry. Can I allow Robert to speak?
No, it's fine. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. My question is the original one. We are betting to find out to see how the programs will work, but the funds that you were proposing for disability and for women,
mm-hmm.
where's that money going to come from? Is this something we're hoping for from Treasury? Because it certainly can't be part of this. And, you know, I'd just like to know, because that's quite important for us to know that. All right, I'll leave it to...
Thanks. I'll deal with content questions later on, because I think now what you were trying to say was that let's speak on the matter that relates to us having budget as a reference document now so that we can be able to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a sponsor, I mean, as a view that I want to sponsor is that if the department is saying the budget is being printed, can I then propose that we proceed to content issues and then when the budget arrives, we deal with it as copies are availed to the members? Thank you.
Ellen, I would not support that.
Mm. Okay.
Because if we do that, we could be questioned one day, but how did you proceed when there was no budgetary information?
No, I think it's printed here on site, Chair.
On the printer?
Yeah. I think that's what they said, but it's right, it's with them now, it's printed here on site. Hence I'm saying we can proceed with other content issues now as the budget is being printed here in the premises, not necessarily the other day.
Thank you, Chair. And honourable members, I firstly want to confirm what the honourable member has said. We are busy printing the proposal, the initial or the last proposal we had made to Treasury, which does exactly what honourable members were asking for, to tabulate how it is that the money is going to be spent. So that will allow for the kind of engagement that the honourable chairperson is looking for. What I want to clarify, Chair, which is very important for the meeting to note, is that the proposal that we are printing is the proposal of the last consensus of 461, which falls short in terms of the EME allocation that we have, as you see in your documents, which is now 321 minus 165, which leaves the department to 159. So the budget you are going to get is the last consensus we had with Treasury, which is costed, which gives in detail how we're planning to spend the money as a department in terms of that. It's not in accordance with what the last appropriation that we get of 321. In fact, of 159. Thanks.
Thanks. I hear that, but I don't feel that's what we want. You are talking about the proposal. We don't want the proposal. Pat, you seem to want to come in. Can you say something?
No, Chairperson. I actually think you were going to cover me because I was going to say my understanding is that you are not talking about the 156 that you eventually got. So I don't see how that is going to assist us in today's discussion. That is the problem that I have, Chairperson. How is it going to assist us? Because the approved budget is 156 that we're going to discuss today, which will be in line with the plan that was tabled here. So unless if I don't understand correctly.
Unless we really don't understand. In fact, let me say it this way. The 156 that we have been given, perhaps you should have done what we are asking for now out of that 156. You understand me? Then we would have seen that the 156 will take us this far. That's what we want.
I think, though, this whole thing is one thing. Because when we, when the Treasury Finance Minister gave the budget to us, he read this, please help. So what they have to give to us, the department, has to be what we are seeing here. What we are seeing here. You know, the amounts have to be the same. Because anyone, if we have like different amounts, can open this book and say, but this is the amount, you know, yes, for 2010, 2011. Why is this different? So that work, you know, according to this. And you are right. We were saying we don't need that proposal we gave to Treasury. Because I think what our work said, how did you what is your priorities? Because there's going to be priorities. Because the question in my mind will be, there is a shortfall. There's a shortfall. What are you doing about the shortfall? Because perhaps there's only 1 million left for operational cost for program. So those things you have to know. Because when you go to Treasury, we have to go with you to Treasury and ask those questions. Thank you.
Remember, can I get guidance from the members as to how we should proceed? In my view, I was going to say, let's wait a little and get the copies that are being printed and see what that look like, and then from there, but I'm sure it's not what we want, but let's just wait for a few minutes, get those printouts, look at them. But in my view, I don't think it's correct for us to proceed. I don't think so. Because programs have to be linked to budget. They must be linked to budget. And this is nothing else but a way of assisting the department in making Treasury understand that this budget will not work for us. Mm. Nothing else. It's not going to work for us. This budget could end up just paying rent, and because even if we say that okay, because it's disturbing, and this is very serious. For me, I'm really hurt. You know, it's hurting, because I'm just asking, how are we going to function if we are given, you know, such little money? I'm really hurt. I'm saying, even if we were to say, like Kiki was saying, even if we were to say that this ministry is only going to do monitoring, only, even if that is the case, the funds are still little. There are still little, even if we are to, because what the department is supposed to do, when you are presented, there was that list of government priorities, education, blah, 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 blah. So we are supposed to go to education and say, okay, what are you doing about the vulnerable groups in terms of education? And then that minister tells us, good, I'm doing 1, 2, 3. And then you people, together with us, of course, the budget would guide us, even for us as a committee. If they say they've done this in Gauteng, in such and such a school, we are supposed to go there and check if it's done. Mm-hmm. But with this budget, we'll never be able to do that. Even you will not be able to do so. Health, the same. Minister, what are your programs for health, for this group? They tell us, we go there and check if this is happening. If it's not, we come back to the minister, look, what you said you are doing is not being done at provinces. You understand? So even if you have to do just monitoring, it's still not enough. I ask for guidance from the meeting. How should we proceed?
Chairperson.
let me start by saying that I appreciate this engagement very, very much, because it is going to the core of the challenge.
Mm.
Now, you establish a ministry, and then you establish a department with a specific mandate to drive equality, equity issues, and to do all the things we're supposed to be doing, monitoring, mainstreaming, all of that. Then, and inherent in that is the fact that you then must develop a program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The program is developed, it's costed,
mm-hmm.
but the funds are not equal to that kind of program.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest challenge, Chairperson. In the sense that as a result of having analyzed the budget and having came to the conclusion that it will not capacitate us to meet the mandate, one has written a letter now to the Minister of Finance to raise the concern, because there needs to be an intervention, Chairperson.
Yeah.
You know, Chair, it also feeds to the perception that, of women,
yeah.
You understand,
mm-hmm.
or children,
yeah.
It's not the core business of government, so it's not our issue. So I'm saying, Chairperson, that it's a very important and critical exercise that the Portfolio Committee is engaging on. And honestly speaking, sitting from where I'm sitting, it's been a frustrating process, the one of budget. Because the indication, as we said earlier on, where there was a good process agreed to by the Minister of Finance through Cabinet and myself. We established him, and we negotiated in the spirit that was to say these are the issues that put on the table. And we even, in that spirit, went down from the initial amount to accommodate the concerns, of course, and so on, to say, okay, fine, let's give us 3 years and a workable budget to establish the department, get the necessary skills, and show that the programs, critical programs that we are putting on the plate, on the table, we are able to run them. Then at an appropriate time, we can review, make an assessment of progress made, and ensure that if necessary, Chair, we ask for more funds, but also put in accounting systems in place for the department and so on. So hence then, Chairperson, one has now reopened negotiations through a letter, which it's like reopening negotiations that have closed. You understand what I mean? But in this instance, there should be sensitivity to the program of the minister and department, so that it talks to the needs of the people out there. Last year, we committed to an empowerment fund for women. And that empowerment fund also, we must have a fund for people with disabilities. There needs to be some kind of fiscal, you know, capacity to start the process. But then we will unlock funds, you know, and use whatever is existing to ensure that we establish the fund. But I'm raising this Chairperson because I'm just adding to the concerns that have been raised, that it is our concern too, that the budget on the table is not really talking to the program.
Mm.
What is talking to the program is 461 million. And Chairperson, if say Treasury says, can you work with 321 million or so as a working budget, you know? I think we can look at that.
Mm.
But exclude the element of the PGE.
Mm-hmm.
Then in that way,
mm-hmm.
in our view, we will be able to say there is a start. But at the moment, there is a difficulty, you know, in managing. Having listened to the debates so far, the call for us to align with we did not do that, because we thought that we should continue the fight and continue the negotiations and see what other interventions can be made to ensure that we get something that is going to assist us to move forward.
Mm.
Hence, you will not get Chairperson the realigned document to the new budget, okay? In the sense that the 156, because we did not look into that. We were hoping that if we go to Treasury, to Minister of Finance once more, and say, Minister, please reconsider the situation that the new government, I mean the new department is in. Let's reopen negotiations. Let's ensure that we won't fight for 461, but we will further compromise. And I'm sure you understand, honorable members, we compromised from 1 billion. We went down to 5. We went further down to 4. We are prepared to go to 3. If it can be said to us, because also we want to start on a clean slate with a clean history of budget. That's why I don't want to come here and fight and engage with you about a budget queries, you know, accounting queries in our. We want to put in systems right from the beginning that will ensure that we manage the public funds correctly and effectively. So whatever we get, Chairperson, has got to improve from what is on the table currently. So if we say the 320 plus and you minus CGE, I am saying to this respectfully, so humbly, to the committee, that it's something that we can consider working on. But the one that is currently on is a difficult one to end, you know, and I'm really admitting it, you know, so that I don't know, but I've written to the minister, and I do hope one will get a positive response that will ensure we move forward in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just to, you know, to put the situation, you know, as openly as possible in terms of the process. But I am happy that the portfolio committee is asking the questions that are being asked here, so that we engage, so that we see how then, you know, it can be. But the program itself, I would love to hear the views also. Put aside, Chairperson, the concerns on budget, but how does the committee feel about the framework we have presented? Is this something that you think we can all live with, you know, in terms of the problems that have been highlighted in our strategic case as a problem of action? So that, I think, will come later, but the concerns around the issue of budget and so on, I think we share the same, and we are looking for a solution to the impact. But she wants to add something to her.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. As the Minister has indicated, that the 165 is a non-starter. Because as a department, you are supposed to put systems. You're supposed to put systems. You're supposed to recruit staff. You're supposed to deliver on the mandate. How do we do that? That is the problem that I think the department is having at this point in time. And then we know that there's an adjustment allocation sometime in October. But even that, it's not going to accommodate us, because if we start now, we'll start on over, what do they call it, on deficit already.
Mm-hmm.
Because this 165 is for 3 years. It's for 3 years, so you will start on deficit. I'm not a mathematician. So that is the critical problem that we are having. And then I'm happy that our minister has raised the issue that issues of women, children, and persons with disabilities are most of the time taken for granted. I think we put that to the members of the committee to consider on this. Thanks, Minister. Chairperson, I'm not being called.
Move towards
the mic. All right.
No.
Yes, I'm coming to a conclusion. I am not being called when it comes to issues. But we speak about legal documents. Money was voted. And even if that money is not enough, because these funds were voted, programs will have to be worked out within that budget constraints. Yes, within that constraints, because this is going to be debated. Because we have two documents that the department have to work according to, the Treasury regulations and the PFMA. And if the department is going to overspend on this amount, then the department is already going to be in, you know, could be charged according to the PFMA. And the adjustment appropriation does come. But we can't look at something because it depends on the minister. And I think what is important, like we go on with what we have at the moment. And as we go along, the negotiations have to take place. Because the budget, you know, you look at the budget, is a political tool. And that tool we'll have to use. Because, like, even if we feel in our house, because we looked at it in our group, we felt it was not enough. But certain processes have to go on at the moment. And then while those processes go on, we can go on to with other things. Because we said we are going to meet Treasury, to speak to Treasury about the budget.
Thanks, Chair. taking into consideration of all that the explanation that the Minister has given us, which I think we must acknowledge, I think one thing that we must understand, Honourable Minister, is that Minister Pravin, as well, accounts to a portfolio committee. And if one of the fundamental tasks that he has been given is to make sure that the state does avail money for the government priorities and for departments to make sure that those priorities of the current government are indeed able to discharge on their mandates, including this one department, I think if we have to arrive to make that point very clear to that office, the chairperson, the honorable chairperson of this committee, I think she is capable of doing that with the advice of this portfolio committee. And I think if it's time that if I were to take it as war, in as far as making sure that issues of children, issues of women, and issues of the most vulnerable group of our country, which is the disabled people, are to be taken to the center stage of government's agenda, then we must be able to rise to that occasion and make sure that we do not seem to be wearing a warm blanket and a warm jacket in addressing those matters. And I think that it should not be a situation where when you come here, you explain to us apologetically of how frustrated your department has been in approaching the Minister of Finance. I think you should come here and explain to this committee that the Ministry of Finance is not giving you satisfaction in as far as cooperation in making sure that this new department does kick off from the ground. It runs with its mandate, because remember, there is an expectation out there that the government, having created this department, seeks to redress and address critical issues that are affecting these vulnerable groups. And I think if we are arriving at a point where there seems to be a temptation to want to reverse that commitment of this government, then it will be a serious indictment, Honourable Chairperson. And it will be an issue that we'll have to, not necessarily as women, because we are not here as women, we are here as trusted representatives of the masses of our people to come and speak here on matters that are affecting them. And critical amongst those groups are issues that are affecting women in their entirety, across racial lines and across party lines. So for me, it's a serious matter that I don't think we must sit here and massage on these issues. And the second issue that I want to speak on, Chairperson, because I remember you have said we must guide you. I think on the first one, I have made myself very clear that let the responsibility be given as the committee to say there is an entrusted chairperson of this portfolio committee. If need be that she draws the Minister of Finance into the attention of this matter, that can be done. But also, I think as a way forward, because I do not want to believe that we can sit down and say we will not be able to move if we are not given a budget of 360 something. That is going to be a delay tactic as well, and it's going to be tapping into the progress that is awaited out there. I think as of now, let's look at our priorities and begin to say, if our priority was a women empowerment fund, how do we take children to be the second priority and make sure that if our women empowerment fund initially was 80 million, how do we cut it back to 3 million? And then if we are to engage the Minister of Finance, engage him on something that is on a document, that is to say, here is the 164 that you have given us, and here is how we are unable to move even on the first financial year. Then to me, that will make a reasonable sense. And if it means, I repeat myself, if it means that this war is looked at as a way of reversing the commitment of this current government in addressing issues that are facing disabled people, children, and women, let's take it in that front and deal with these matters. Because I think, without wanting to get political about it, I think issues of chauvinism towards which are issues that are affecting women, they start in this manner, Chairperson, without really getting warmed up in this matter. Thank you.
Chairperson will have to bear with me on this issue because I need clarity. On the Section 9 institutions, are the Section 9 institutions not within the Department of Justice? And why is this one, not all of them? No, why is this one picked up? No, I'm asking if the Section 9 institutions are not within the Department of Justice. And let's suppose Chapter 9 institutions. And if it's like that, why this one now is within this new ministry? Because it's a city. Why is it picked out and not be left there like any other Chapter 9 institution? Because it's women, so it's supposed to go there. No, I mean this is important, because there's 156 that is going to it, that is within this ministry. Why is it removed from the Department of Justice or Justice Ministry? I need clarity on that particular issue. And secondly, Chair, you know, this, we, you know, when we do, the, we have a debate on the budget, you invite your constituencies. So we'll have to invite the women, we have to invite the people with disabilities. Unfortunately, children will be at school. And I honestly, I don't know when we invite them for this budget, how is the world out there going to take us? I mean, this is a serious crisis that we find ourselves in, and it needs us to address it immediately. I really don't know. What are we going to stand in front of in South Africa, and what are we going to say as members of parliament? We are representing women in this parliament, and I don't know what we are going to report back to the women's caucus when we have time to report back on this budgetary issue. So, Jay, I think we have a serious problem. We need an intervention as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think my colleagues have broadly covered me. I don't want to repeat what they have said, but I must also want to thank the minister, you know, for, you know, undertaking this process whereby we, I must say that, Minister, we are really frustrated over this committee. We won't say other things. Maybe we'll get, at a later stage, we will not necessarily, you know, putting the blame on you, but on the system itself, that we are not happy, as my colleague is saying, that we have to go out and explain about this committee. And having the understanding as this committee that this is not what we wanted. Because really, we didn't understand why it was taking out of presidency. So all those things, you know, they are just building up on us because we have never even been consulted about this being taken out of presidency, which I think you also understood that this was supposed to be in the presidency where it was going to be having all that authority, which is not going to be having any longer. And then the question is going to arise, why then did we change this committee? Why did we change from the OSW? But then, like I'm saying that, you know, we really appreciate the initiative that you are going to take by going back. I know it's not an easy thing, but as the portfolio committee, I think it is our duty also to fight. I must also inform you that we are also contemplating on the process of calling the treasurer himself to come and explain to us, you know, about this budget, because we are really not happy about the budget. But having said that, thank you for your, you know, intelligence.
Thank you. I think I like the part that Annela raises, that when we talk about this issue, you should not be apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
Like orphans, come. We are not here to beg. Mm-hmm. This was established, and in my view, I think we were ready for it. Maybe one cannot get into the nitty-gritties, like Comrade Dorothy is saying, that this is not actually what we wanted in the first place. You know, one can even go on and say, even each department, Comrade Trevor and Comrade Shaban.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they, according to us, their proposal came after ours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But they seem to be prioritized better than us. So those are the things we need to sit down. As Annelie is saying, even the Honorable Pravin is accountable.
Mm-hmm.
We can call him. But for me, I was going to say, why don't we want, why don't we move on with the allocated amount, the 150 something. So it will mean then you have to go back, reprioritize your program within that amount that we have been given. But together with that includes the financial part, link the programs to the budget. Mm-hmm. With the little that you have, let's see how far we get. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I was going to propose that it would be too much for the committee if we would try and set the appointment with the president himself. We are Pulo Wakaland. He's the one who Wakaland. And then we I don't know how it's done. I've never seen it being done in the committees that I've served. But I don't take him to be a free president. I don't think he would have a problem with us wanting to meet him. Is it too much to ask, man?
No.
Let's try and do that. We'll set and... Who does that? Is it you, Committee Secretary? Let's go the procedures. Please do that. Then you tell us what's what. Then we go and raise these things. Sorry? Before the budget vote, because when this will give us a problem standing there and lying to the public. What are we going to? But maybe we could avoid that. You know, maybe we could stand there with some hope that we have met the president. He has promised us 1-3. You know? Yeah. Let's move towards closure. I think. Honourable Makase, the last one, and Robinson, the last one. The question that you asked, that why was it brought here instead of being left there? We are cautious. Oh, is she mad? Do you still have to come in, Makase? Robinson?
Two things I just wanted to say. I can't remember what was allocated to the youth. I think we should just compare what was given to us.
That's something.
Yes. 346 million.
But that's for youth alone. We have got three aspects.
Yeah.
So I think this needs to be brought out in any discussion. And I agree with you, we must try to see the president, but are we also going to ask to see the Minister of Finance?
Mm-hmm.
Are the two going to run?
Maybe what we should talk about, who do we see first? The Minister. Will you be part of that department? Of that meeting?
Yeah, we can, as a support, so that we bring all the documentation. We also come up with the entire process, because we started to negotiate with the department. When was it? Was it last year already? You know, when we're dropping, when we're Tontoni, until we came with this compromise of 461, excluding the Commission on Gender Equality.
Yeah, I think it will have to be a present, because after the Minister of Finance's presentation in the House, I went to the Deputy Minister of Finance and I had a chat with him. And he said, no, you people got, the department got according to what they presented, according to their work plan. That's what he said to me. So, that is why I'm saying it will help if you people are here.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
You can make it.
Yeah. This is just an exercise to make the situation better. That is all.
I just needed to ask the minister. She mentioned that there was going to be a national Indaba on the 22nd. That's the day after, next weekend. I just wanted to know more details about that so that we could also be informed and possibly participate as a committee. Thank you.
Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. The national Indaba is supposed to be including all the stakeholders, for women, for children, and persons with disabilities. And I think also, in line with the approach that we have adopted, that we need to work with the parliamentary portfolio committee. We will be inviting through the chairperson, you know, the portfolio committee also to just participate, you know, in line with the oversight role and responsibility. Because this is one of the biggest issues that if we do not stop it, it's going to affect the country moving forward. With respect to the killing of the vulnerable women, children, and even people with disability. So there is an increased incidence in terms of the... So that's why arising from the death, unfortunate death of the little girl of the social movement, we then decided that we need some kind of intervention that will bring South Africans together to say, what is this phenomenon and how can we stop it? Some people link it to cultural practices for immunity and so on, and the traditional leaders are saying, not in our name. And therefore, together with traditional leaders, healers and everybody else, we thought that we should have this endeavor. So I think the information, if it has not been received yet, is on the way to invite the participation, you know, of Parliament through the portfolio committee so that we do something about this phenomenon. So, and the dialogue was meant to also coincide with human rights issues, because we believe it's a human rights issue that should be put on the table. So that we conscientize society on the dangers of doing things that are a danger to itself. And it is also speaking to the conscience of our nation that all of us need to make a contribution to ensure a safe and secure environment for women and children and people with disability. So it is in that context that we have convened such an endeavor so that we can deal with these issues. Thank you.
Is the ministry hosting the council? Out of this little budget. Okay.
Within the constraints, we will.
Thank you, Chair. Minister, with respect, I approve and I, you know, welcome what you're saying. But I think for us to hear about it now, by the way, and at such short notice, doesn't really give us the opportunity to participate or to feel that we are can get there, first of all, just from the point of view of time. So could I ask for sort of advance notice in future so that we can feel that we are part of it and that we can make ourselves available?
I'm sure this is a point taken.
Chairperson, it's a point well taken, and thanks to Madam Bobin.
Thanks, Chair. No, I actually wanted to, seeing that we're not going to be able to deal with content issues today in as far as the presentation of the Department is concerned, I wanted to do an augmentation to your earlier proposal that the committee finds a way of availing President to come and address us on this matter. But also, I think, like yourself, I'm not necessarily sure of the protocols, but I think it would proper, from where I sit, if the portfolio committee through yourself, through your honourable hand, a letter is written to the Minister of National Planning and Evaluation and Performance, so that, you know, I'm now talking, Minister, from a humanitarian point of view. I'm human. Because I'm imagining that part of what will be expected when the President signs the performance agreement with ministers, it will be a matter that will be saying these issues will not be taken into consideration. They will be peripheral and petty issues. So I think it will be important that there is a document which is a reference to say Even us at the level of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, because of the department that was seeming not to be able to kick off, we intervened, trying to bring the matter to their attention so that even when they advise the President to either come or delegate someone, because remember, he may come in person or may delegate a minister to come and address us, but he is made to be aware of the critical and sensitive issues that the committee seeks to see him on. Though I would have wanted to ask Minister, where is the operational budget coming from at the moment? Oh, okay.
No.
From the presidency at this point in time, yeah. We were going to be, this was going to be the first budget of the department on the first, so we're going to operate independently from the first of April. On the issue of the CGE check, and then there was also another issue that you raised, and then where you were saying, sort of advising the department, whether can the department stay on this? Is it 165 allocation? Can the department say based on? I'm not good. What?
165.
Ah, whatever. No. What we propose is that we need to prioritize based on that. So if we say we prioritize based on that, we'll only pay salaries. I'm just making an example. Maybe we'll pay salaries, and then we won't be able to recruit the staff, we won't be able to do most of the things. Okay.
Put that down.
Out of the budget that has been allocated,
don't explain now. Put it down.
Go back, reprioritize your program, and come back to us. Because out of that, that is what also we are going to use in our debate. You understand? Put the new problem in place, link it to the budget that you have, and bring it to us. The same stuff that you brought, but of course, you would have changed a lot of things, and bring it to us. Link it to that. Because if it's like this, then it's not going to work for us. That's it, please.
No, we will do that, Chief.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the performance plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the CGE, Chairperson, it was proclaimed last year in July that the CGE will be transferred from Department of Justice to the Women's Ministry. So that is the status quo. Legally, CGE is getting its, yeah, legally CGE is under the Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities program. And then its funds will go through this department, you know, will be responsible for the administration of CGE. But then I need to note that when the negotiations were taking place, the CGE allocation was not part until when we're given this 320 something, and then that's when the CGE money was brought into place.
Okay, well, also maybe, you know, when you are desperate in a situation like we are in, perhaps you do become overambitious. Perhaps we are overambitious to say we want to see the president. It does come back. Maybe we are. I don't know. Let's start with the Minister of Finance. After
performance and monitoring.
To Minister Chaban. He is coming. That makes things better for us. I'm understanding that he is coming. Maybe that will put some clarity into our minds. Thereafter, if that fails, then we can see the president. He always says we are going to do things differently. So this will be a different committee meeting with the president. So we will be doing things differently in that way. But it's after all these other tries. Robinson.
I can love to say that, Chair.
Just wanted to say about the CGE, which we're concerned about, that has been transferred to us and that is gobbling up some of our money. Shouldn't we be calling them to account as well? Shouldn't they be coming to meet with us? Have we got this on our program? Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Perhaps I can give the program in advance. Thanks.
On that note, member, can we then close the meeting? Thank you.